This broadcast from ACB Radio World is made possible through the support of Vision Australia. Vision Australia is Australia's leading provider of blindness and low vision services. We strive for the day when people who are blind or who have low vision can participate in any aspect of life they choose. You can find out more about us at visionaustralia.org. We are delighted to be partnering with ACB Radio to bring this WBU General Assembly to the world.
Vision Australia. Blindness and low vision services.
Terratech's accessible digital lifestyle is a hot topic and getting hotter. Here's your chance to add some sizzle to your life by participating in our online survey and enrolling to win a complete digital lifestyle makeover. Here's what you could win. An Asus 2-pound netbook PC with 1 gigabyte of main memory and an 8 gigabyte SSD drive fully equipped for accessible wireless networking, including Terratech's award-winning System Access screen reader. A complete Terratech software as service package including System Access Mobile, 4 years of System Access Mobile Network, and Neo Speech, a HumanWare Victor Stream audiobook player,
a Creative Lab Zen Stone MP3 player,
and one copy of any Mobile Speak screen reader for your mobile device, courtesy of Code Factory. The Digital Lifestyle Makeover is worth more than $2,000, and all you have to do is answer a few really easy questions. Of course, you don't have to wait to win to get access and be accessible. If you're one of the first 100 people to sign up for Terratech's 4-year software as service package, we'll send you a Zen Stone MP3 player at no charge. For more information, please visit Terratech on the web at www.terratech.com. Access life with Terratech's digital lifestyle. Start your makeover today. The winner of our Summer Sizzle contest will be drawn on the Sunday after Labor Day on ACB Radio's Marlena program. And the winner must be at home to win.
From Geneva, Switzerland, this is live coverage of the 7th General Assembly Women's Forum with your host, Chrissy Cochran.
And Christopher Gray, no less.
Welcome, Chris.
Good afternoon, Chrissy. I'm back.
You are indeed.
I could not be here this morning because of the women-only part of the Women's Forum, and I might have been here for the education section, except that in the part of Geneva where our hotel is located, they had a triathlon which closed all the streets, and there was no getting out. I didn't get here until about 12:30, just in time to hear Marlena giving her report and the wrap-up of the education section of the Women's Forum this morning.
Well, you can't argue with sport, can you? It seems to just take over. It's not the Olympics, it's a Swiss triathlon.
It sure took over today, I'm telling you.
I love it.
The streets were blocked, and this whole area, as people may remember, were really right at the doorstep of the United Nations. And the bicycle part of the triathlon came by the UN area,
right,
for, oh, you know, the sake of television and,
of course,
and all that. And so it was quite a time getting here, but I'm back, and we are just about to head into the final half day of the Women's Forum, the 4th annual Women's Forum, held just before each quadrennial conference of the World Blind Union. This morning we had a women's-only session and a session on education, and broke at 1 o'clock, our strange European time, 11 o'clock UTC, for a much-needed rest and lunch, and we're scheduled to come back into session at 2:30 mid-European, 12:30 UTC.
He's
the afternoon session.
Got it.
You know, it took a whole day for it to sink in, the time change and all that, but I actually think I understand how it works now.
God, I'm glad to hear
At approximately 2:30, and of course we recognize that it is 1 minute after that time now, but
that approximately gong will tell us that it's 5 minutes to go.
That's right. We have a session on advocacy and capacity building of women, creating leadership, and making women's voices heard in our organization and in society. That'll be in this plenary room, and the session speaker is Lola Marson. Now, Lola Marson is from Jamaica. She's well-known and a good friend of the people in North America, in the North American Caribbean region of the World Blind Union. Lola is president of the Caribbean Council of the Blind, an organization which comprises over 31 tiny countries within the Caribbean. So I'm sure her presentation will be very interesting, very good. At 3 o'clock, from 3 to 4 o'clock, we have our typical breakout discussion groups, and they'll be in the plenary room where we're going to stay, and then rooms 3 and 4. The questions are, how can we build capacity among women on local, regional, and the national level, and how to restart the women's committee in our regions or to replace it with something else that works? This is a very, very critical issue. Let me try and give just a moment of background. There was a women's committee as a part of the World Blind Union, and due to all kinds of difficulties, communication difficulties, leadership difficulties, some people passing away and so forth, the women's committee has completely fallen apart. It just doesn't exist in WBU today. And even though some great plans were laid and agendas created for some women's forums and so forth, not only in North America, but in Central and Latin America, in Eastern Europe, and most especially in Africa and certain parts of India in the Third World, it's never happened. So we're going to talk about that.
I think they're just sort of...
I think they're talking...
getting people together.
So that'll be from 3 to 4 in the various rooms. Yeah, they'll start in five minutes.
Yes.
From 4 to 4:30, we'll hear a report of the sessions, of the three sessions where this was discussed. And I certainly hope that some plans are laid and the groundwork is put together to put back together the Women's Committee of WBU, find some new exuberant leadership, and really make something happen. It came so close to creating a worldwide women's visually impaired and blind women's summit, and at the last moment the whole thing fell apart for lack of funding, some say lack of interest, I think primarily just for lack of a viable structure of leadership. Mm-hmm. I'll bet you anything that should the next president of WBU be a woman, perhaps Marianne Diamond, who's the only known candidate, we're going to see some work in that area, and fast work, too. At 4 o'clock, the session chair will be Rina Prasarani. She's from Indonesia. And then from 4:30 to 5:30, the session will begin to wind down. There'll be the Women's Forum closing session remarks. The chair for that will be Marianne Diamond, who I just mentioned from Australia, and the session speaker will be during that time. The first item of consideration will be resolutions that were passed by the resolutions committee. They'll be brought before the forum. The chair of that committee is Brigitte Blukland, and she's from the Netherlands. She chaired one of our meetings yesterday, very effective, and I happen to know that she's been quite the taskmaster of the resolutions committee and has kept everybody very busy, and there'll be probably, I think, 4 or 5 resolutions presented, and those will be passed here and then brought forward to the World Blind Union General Assembly during the week for consideration. A summary of the forum will be given by Robin McKenzie from Australia, and a discussion of where to go from here will be carried on by Marianne Diamond. Finally, there will be, we hope, a women's choir.
Oh, there will be. I've heard them rehearse.
Have you?
And they're good.
You know, I bet they are good. And, Chrissy, how are we going to handle broadcasting that? Will it be effective, do you think?
it'll be effective. It will unfortunately be mono, I would think.
Mono. Well, I guess we can accept a mono feed.
What we'll have to do is to try and get a message through to the translation booth to make sure they keep the mics live.
Okay. Okay, good.
Otherwise, we won't be able to get it from back here at all.
Right, right. Just to mention, many other activities have gone on today. In fact, some of the women are a little bit irritated that activities may have impinged on their forum. You might hear a little more about that later on today. If you don't, I'll be surprised. Also, from 2 to 6:30, registration has continued. And here we go.
Here we go.
Good afternoon, everybody. Well, it's not very easy to conduct or chair a session after lunch break because everybody is going sleepy now with a bit hard topic for me. And I hope that this session will be fruitful for you. So I'm Rina from Indonesia, and I will chair this session. I hope I'm not talking too fast for the translator. I'm sorry. And here on my left side, there is a great woman coming from Jamaica. Her name is Lola Morrison. She's the president of the Council for the Blind Federation of the Jamaican.
Could I just have the word as stage manager?
No, not
okay. Could I just have the word as a stage manager for 2 minutes before you try to start?
Okay.
So, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This time I can talk to the gentlemen as well. This morning we just had the ladies. I would like to give you the information I already gave this morning to the ladies and some additional. First of all, if your people are turning on the microphones, please turn them off again afterwards, because otherwise the technical people have a lot of confusion. Then we have the great pleasure that the Turkish delegation brought some documents for you about women in Turkey. So you can find a Braille version in English at the table close to the main door of this room. Please, all Spanish delegates sitting in this room, raise your hands, and then the volunteers will put stickers on your badges that they know that you're Spanish. So please raise your hands that the volunteers can find you and keep them up a while, because they have to run around. This isn't... Are the volunteers aware of that? No. Okay, then we will sort that out with the stickers later. Sorry for that. One thing I already told you this morning is because of the buses coming into the Congress Center. Please look that you get up early and that you get on the right bus, because otherwise the buses will be too full and cannot take you up. And the same for the lunch tickets. The lunch at the Congress Center is only sold, only given to the people who bought lunch tickets. So if you do not have them and want to eat here, please purchase them at the registration. Well, then we have the pleasure that for the closing ceremony we have a choir who is going to sing. So never mind if some people might be walking around dressed in black. And tonight we have the pleasure of having Paris Zangane with us. She will have her sound check this afternoon, so we are going to close the door of this room. Thank you.
There we are. That's it for the minute. We'll be back to the floor when the mics come live again. You're listening to ACB Radio World and the Fourth Women's Forum.
So we are going to start a session. This is about advocacy and empowerment. It has been very big issues for, especially for the organization of the blind, to put forward the advocacy and also to empower the blind women. And here we have Lola Marson from Jamaica. And we are going to hear from her about advocacy and capacity building of women create leadership, make women's voice heard in our organization and also in society. The floor is yours, Lola.
Thank you. Let me make one correction. Good afternoon, all. I'm the president of the Caribbean Council for the Blind. I'm actually Jamaican, so I reside in Jamaica. And as you heard, I am going to be dealing with the whole topic of advocacy and capacity building and see how this can make women's voice be heard in their communities, society, and so on. I hope that you, at the end of the presentation, you would have learned something. I will have to go as quickly as possible. We have a lot to cover, and I hope I will not be going too fast for the interpreters. It is estimated that there are over 150 million persons in the world who are either blind or have a visual impairment. And it is further estimated that of that number, close to two-thirds or 64.6% of those persons are women. Yet men continue to play the dominant role even those situations which have a direct impact on the lives of women who are blind or visually impaired. In some cultures, women are denied their basic rights to education, health care, and a livelihood. And even in quote-unquote modern cultures, we have heard of incidents where women who are blind or visually impaired are ridiculed, and their babies are taken away from them because they are seen as being incapable of taking care of their children. Hence, the need for blind and visually impaired women to become involved and to participate in decisions which affect their lives has never been greater. Advocacy and capacity building are two of the ways in which this can happen. And I will begin by exploring what is considered to be capacity building. And broadly speaking, when we are thinking of capacity building, it refers to those actions taken to enhance a country's human, organizational, technological, scientific, institutional, and resource capabilities. Of course, it is developmentally oriented, the fundamental concern of which is to create an environment geared towards implementing change, and that change is positive change, which will ultimately improve existing situations in the areas that I mentioned above. Since the emphasis, of course, is on women who are blind, if we think capacity building, we are thinking of those actions taken to enhance and develop the capacity of such persons by providing them with the necessary skills to play a more meaningful role in decision-making which affect their lives and ultimately improve their situation. So we will be looking at things such as training, the empowerment of women, facilitating the education of girls and, of course, indeed, women who are also blind and visually impaired. We are referring to things such as leadership development training and so on. Of course, while training is an important component of capacity building, as alluded to in the UNDP's briefing paper, it involves much more than training and encompasses the following. And the first one is human resource development. And this is a process of equipping individuals with the understanding, skills, knowledge, and training to access information and that enables them to perform more effectively. So we're talking about enhancing the development of the individual, enabling them to perform more effectively, enabling them to be more articulate in making their needs known, and so on. Now we come to organizational development, and remember we're thinking of capacity building, and this refers to action taken to strengthen and elaborate management structures, processes, procedures, not only within organization, but also the management of relationships between different sectors. Okay, what we are seeing here is we are developing the capacity of the organization. We are improving the organization by providing more technology, by putting in instituting measures to ensure accountability, to ensure effective communication, also to be able to manage relationship outside of the organization. And as we know, we all don't live in a vacuum, so we need to be able to manage those relationships outside. We need others, we need to interact, we need to network with other organizations. We need to know how to utilize these organizations to promote whatever we are trying to achieve. And now we come to the institutional and legal framework in capacity building. And this is making legal and regulatory changes to enable organizations, institutions, agencies at all levels and in all sectors to enhance their capacity. So we're talking about legislation. And earlier on, yesterday, we spoke of the old UNCRB PD and how that will eventually affect persons with disabilities. And so in your particular country, it would be that your government's making regulatory changes so that when persons' rights are violated, that they can have a source of redress. And also too, when we look at the whole issue of the Copyright Act, which will be discussed later on this week, where many countries are finding it difficult to provide information in accessible format for persons who are blind or visually impaired. And that is, when we're thinking about capacity building again, is to making these changes so that persons can provide without fear of woe information to blind and visually impaired women and indeed men in accessible format. Now, why is capacity building necessary? There are those who may argue against the singling out of women who are blind for special attention, as it is felt that being blind in general is an indication that one would be subjected to societal prejudices. Of course, however, research has shown that there is a vast disparity between male and female, with women being in receipt of unfavorable treatment. And especially when that woman has a disability, you can understand the difficulties that she may have. While there's very little information regarding women who are blind, experiences of women in general and those with a disability are not dissimilar to that of women who are blind. It has been found that 2 out of every illiterate persons are women, and that only 16% of women, of disabled women, are likely to have a secondary education, as opposed to 28% of their male counterparts. In a more recent unpublished study conducted by myself on the impact of the rehabilitation program offered by the Caribbean Council for the Blind on the status of women who are blind in the Caribbean, It has been found that only 50% of persons with disability, of women who were blind, had a secondary education. And of course, when we're talking about secondary education, what was found, some of them had no skills, no further training. Some of them did not complete secondary school, even though they were introduced to secondary education. So it's 50-50. 50% having secondary education, whereas another 50 had no form of secondary education, only were educated at the primary level. And another concern of that study as well was that only 13% of those women received training after they became blind. Not only was this gender bias evident in the area of education, however, with regard to leadership positions, it was found that of the 56 persons, or 56% since it was 100, of women who were blind who reported being involved in organizations, only 10 of those women were considered to hold positions which were considered to be an officer status. Of course, this is an indication that even though women are becoming more involved in decisions which affected their lives, for the most part, men were still making these decisions. Of course, despite the existence of these phenomena, there appeared to be also a state of inertia among women who are blind. And you find that in some regions, the good work that was started in the early 90s until the early part of 2000 seemed to have taken a backward movement, in that women now seem to take less interest in ensuring that their issues are given adequate attention. And of course, someone mentioned yesterday about the fact that we need to be thinking about our replacement. The Lolas of today and so on, the Kikis and so on, will not be around forever. So hence, we need to be thinking about building leadership among women, young women, that is, who are blind and visually impaired. Of course, the fact that these examples are not exhausted is an indication that there's justification for building the capacity of women who are blind. And now we take a look at as to what is seen as advocacy. And advocacy is seen, one definition, as the pursuit of influencing outcomes, including public policy and resource allocation decisions within political, economic, social systems and institutions that directly affect people's lives. Another more simpler definition of advocacy is the act of pleading for, making intercession on behalf of, supporting, urging by arguments, or defending. So it is implying that people who want to advocate need to be able to argue, and to be able to argue in a persuasive manner. You have to be able to win people over. And we're looking now at the types of advocacy, and one school of thought purport that there are two types of advocacy: broker advocacy and group advocacy, which would be our concern really. Broker advocacy is an individual acting on behalf of another individual to remedy prejudices of society, whereas group advocacy has to do with individual or individuals acting on behalf of disadvantaged groups to remedy the prejudices that stem from society. The Advocacy Institute purports that there are four types of advocacy, and of course the decision to to utilize a particular type is going to be dependent on your cultural situation, your socio-economic situation, as well as your political situation. And the first type of advocacy is that is mentioned is that of ideological advocacy. And this, with this type of advocacy, groups push to make their set of beliefs and values dominant. Of course, battling others in the streets, in the halls of decision-making bodies and electoral processes. And critics of this type of advocacy purport that it can become narrow in perspective and exclude people by focusing on enemies rather than building support among unlikely alliances. Also, it is felt that broad beliefs and values may not be translated into specific issues or policies when using this type of advocacy. Now, the next type of advocacy identified is that of mass advocacy and public actions. This is done through public actions, petitions, protests, demonstrations, sit-ins, non-violent civil disobedience, and this is done by large groups of people who are used to air major grievances, to confront power holders, and to find ways of engaging different decision-making systems. Mass participation and mobilization are essential elements in this type of advocacy. Of course, you have those who oppose this type as well. And what the critics are saying is that such actions may influence specific situations, but it usually do not create comprehensive or systematic change. Also, some mass movements can be dominated by a single charismatic leader who may not encourage others to assume leadership roles. The result of this is that we have a movement that is unable to sustain itself over the long period. Of course, you have the third type of advocacy identified, and that is interest group advocacy. Groups organize around a specific set of issues and place demands on the system through lobbying or other persuasion efforts. So they place demand through process of lobbying. And it has been suggested that decision makers only listen to those who are organized and skilled at presenting working arguments and within the system. Such organization and skills often take money, of course. And so if you're a very poor organization in some parts of Africa or in the Caribbean or so, this may not be an effective type of advocacy to use. It means that people who are poor or near poor are historically underrepresented, such as women, of course, children, racial, ethnic, and minorities are often left out with this type of advocacy. Because in places like the United States and so on, you have people engaging in lobbying. You have to pay lobbyists, right? So it costs money. Of course, you can utilize these interest groups to, especially if their interest is similar to what you are trying to put across. You can try to get them on your side and utilize them in the hope that you won't have to be providing a lot of money in order to utilize these persons. Now, the final type of advocacy that has been identified is that of bureaucratic advocacy. And I don't necessarily think this is suitable to our situation, though. But what it is that economists and consultants from think tanks and universities try to influence bureaucrats that is the power maker, political directorate and so on, decision makers within the system. And they are allowed access to present their findings and conclusions because, of course, they are considered to be experts in their fields. Official decisions are vetted through slow, deliberate process. And when they are reached, are accepted as legitimate because, you know, those persons are supposed to be educated and so on and are supposed to know it all. So hence, whatever there's legitimacy with what they have to say. The arguments which have been put forward against the use of this type of advocacy is that it puts little value on public participation or the voices of grassroots and community-based organizations, NGOs and so on, who are not considered, of course, to be experts, even though they have a direct experience with the issue being addressed. Also, bureaucratic advocacy rarely responds quickly to crisis or opportunities. I know I may be going fast, but there's a lot I said to cover. So we have now been looking at some of the ways in which we can advocate, the methods of advocacy. And there are many ways, but we look at five ways in which advocacy can take place. And these include the following: studies and surveys. And some people may argue, studies and surveys being advocacy, why studies and surveys? This is undertaken, of course, to provide groundwork or obtain information regarding the need for advocacy. Yes, very important for us to know that if we will be able to get support with whatever cause we are trying to put forward. It is important that before advocacy takes place, that those concerned understand the issues as well. You must be able to speak or articulate the issues. You must be able to speak in an informed way about the issues to be advocated. So you need to research the area. And of course, you need to understand the opposition as well as the climate of opinion about the particular issue to be advocated. Not everybody would be in agreement with whatever cause you are putting forward, you are demanding to get settled. So as women, we have to be mindful when we are advocating. We have to know our allies and know our enemies and ultimately try to convert enemies into allies. So we have to research in order to get this. Now, a second way by which advocacy can take place is through the use of demonstration projects. And this is, of course, showing the public what can be achieved in order to effect change. For instance, if you have a situation where most blind and visually impaired women are unemployed, you may want to stage an employment fair and invite personnel or human resource officers to this employment fair and to show what blind persons are capable of doing in the workplace with a view. How much? Almost end. Okay, I'm told that I have very little time left, but what this is showing to the public what blind persons are able to do. And you have the next type, that is lobbying. And of course, what that is individuals or a group making direct contact with public officials to put forth a cause and to make demands on these power makers. Now, also, the next type of advocacy, of course, is that of filing petition, and what this is compiling letters and so on, so that you can put forward your point, and getting groups of persons to sign these letters and submitting them to public officials. In the early part of the 19th century, we had experiences in lobbying where groups of blind and visually impaired persons throughout the Caribbean petitioned the Queen about the existing conditions of blind and visually impaired persons in the Caribbean. Hence, you had the establishment of some agencies in the Caribbean, as well as the Caribbean Council for the Blind. And of course, a fifth method of advocacy is that of demonstration. And I think most of us here know what is demonstration, using placards, marches, etc., making demands on public officials through public demonstration. And it is said that in utilizing this method, this should be a last resort, because it can get out of hand and even become violent. So this method should only be used when all other methods have failed. And let us briefly look at some of the ingredients for effective advocacy. And here are some. And this is purported by the Advocacy Institute, the rightness of the cause. Who determines whether it is right or wrong? If the majority of persons see your cause as being right, then you're likely to gain support. The power of the advocate, and we're talking about strength in numbers phenomena. No use getting a group of persons together for a mass demonstration, I only finding like 4 or 5 persons turning up. Then you'll be seen as a troublemaker rather than really advocating for a cause. The thoroughness which with the advocate research the advocacy climate, as I mentioned before, and the skills in using advocacy tools available, including the media. And of course, why we need to advocate, we mentioned some of these things up here earlier on when we were dealing with capacity building, and we are talking about the fact that women tend to men tend to play a more dominant role, even in many of our organizations, and the need for women to advocate and to make their voices heard in these organizations. The fact that people are disadvantaged, such as women who are blind, so there's a need to remedy these situations, hence the need to advocate. You have situations where we mentioned this morning where girls are not being educated. We need to be able to promote inclusive education for all disabled persons, particularly since we're emphasizing women here. We're talking about girls, and of course we wouldn't leave out the men, but as was seen earlier, women seem to be on the receiving end with regard to discrimination and so on. So the need to advocate, you know, the women need to be able to access their environment freely. Of course, you have situations where it becomes a danger for people to navigate their environment. You have situations where people have been discriminated against with regard to the whole issue of employment. It is also necessary to advocate when routine work won't get you where you want to go. When experiences or preliminary work shows that you cannot achieve your goal in any other way, and when you are sure you have the capacity to carry it through, and when you have enough enthusiasm and energy to last you for a long time. I will stop here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Lowell Marson, for your comprehensive and encouraging presentations. I hope that we all now get a bit more about the focusy and empowerment so that we can go back to our countries and become more like advocator rather than the provocator, right? And now I'm not going to hold this session a bit more because we are getting into the time of the discussion. And right. The discussion will be, like usual, will be held in this room for the English-speaking people, and for the Spanish-speaking people, will be in the room number 3, and the French-speaking people will be in the room number 4. And the discussion that we are going to have is about the question about how can we build capacity among women on local, regional, and national, and how to restart a community in our region or to replace it with something else that work, and what should it be if there is no committee. Okay, we are going to have the discussion for maybe less than an hour because we have to go back here at 4 o'clock. Right? All right. Okay, thank you very much, and I'll see you again here at 4 o'clock for the report. All right, thank you very much.
Okay, so now we await the setting up of the workshop, and we'll be taking that. You're listening to ACB Radio World, the fourth Women's Forum, which runs just before the General Assembly of the World Mine Union, which is the seventh General Assembly, so it started that bit earlier, and then they thought, oh, we'll have the Women's Forum tacked onto that, so that's great.
I was looking forward to Lola's presentation, and it was pretty good. She told me last night when we were chatting out by where you get transportation home that she had prepared some remarks. She said, I hope they're what people want to hear, and if they're not, I guess it's too late.
No, well, that's good. She was, in fact, I'm sure it's the same person, was at the one in Kenya that I went to and gave a very spirited presentation.
She could have been.
At the
Kenya conference.
Yeah, yeah. I've been racking my brains as to what that conference was called. You know, my poor
Africa
brain.
Blind Union.
Yes.
Conference.
No, it was. Was it the Africa Blind? We'll get into this because
I think it was something like that. Anyway,
because they've had them in different countries, haven't they?
It was the fifth annual conference. It was the first time. That the African countries had all met at one time.
And that was fabulous.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate that we missed the interview that we should have had this morning with Ellie Shaffer.
Ellie Macha. Right.
Yeah, from Kenya.
Yes.
Because now she did speak at that conference, and she was extremely good.
Well, maybe we can capture her and have her come to another
yes, indeed.
Interview time when somebody else doesn't show up.
Oh, now they wouldn't do that, would they?
Now, remember, let's see. I did run across William Roland, president of the World Mine Union. He promised he would be here tomorrow. So I'm sure he will.
Just to let you know, folks, that if you would like to get in touch with us, it's convention@acbradio.org. That's email and MSN. So both those will be available and are available should you wish to get in touch with us. Nama, I don't know if you are listening. If you are, I know you've got a show running up until 18, I think. I'll try and do a quick insert into that show on Skype, if you like, and let people know how the day's proceedings have gone, much as we did yesterday. We'll see how we go. We may be running a bit late, so that may not be possible. But if it is, for those on Interactive, we'll let people know how things have gone during the course of the day.
Is it my microphone, Chrissy, that's picking up so much extraneous noise?
Hold on, I'll find out. Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. Here, let me...
Go a bit closer to it.
And there. That was a lot of excess room noise.
That's a lot better. That's a lot better.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I wouldn't want it to tip over, you see.
No, I'm holding it with my hand.
It's becoming an ongoing joke.
Ongoing joke. It's an in-joke, I guess, a little bit. But
the thing is that Marlena is sitting quite near us, and she can always hear when we ask comments on this mic stand that she's brought. That's where that's coming from, folks.
And it's her mic stand.
It is.
I'm glad it's hers and not mine.
But Marlena is sitting here all by herself most of the time as well, I notice.
Well, but at least she's keeping us company.
She is.
And that is nice.
And it's great. And you can keep us company, as I say. You can interact with us at convention@acbradio.org. We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear how it's coming over.
Marlena is keeping us company here on the left.
She is indeed.
I'm bothering her to go and make some speeches about the need to reactivate the women's forum. I don't know if she's going to do it or not.
Good idea. And I'm sure we'll hear more about that later on.
Oh, we're going to hear plenty about that. I'm not sure who all we're going to hear it from, but I think we're going to hear quite a lot about it.
Well, you were saying that earlier on that there was a women's committee.
There was a women's committee, and they created an agenda and a mechanism for sponsoring some activities, primarily, as I remember, for blind women who were under the age of 25.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to bring them together from around the world. I can't remember where the meeting was going to be at. They had program material written, but not produced. They had arrangements made for guides to come, especially with women who were under 21 or under 18 or some such thing as that. And then the request was made for funding, and the funding was not forthcoming from a variety of sources. And the leadership of the committee, I don't know if they gave up or if they... I think if one person passed away, and before you knew it, the initiative had gone to the wayside, and then people just gave up, and they said, well, nothing happened. We wanted this to happen, but no one would help us, and so we didn't do anything.
There's often one, isn't there, that's the driving force.
So often, yes.
And unfortunately, if driving force goes, then...
Anyone from the delegates can't
carry on. I hope
it does
restart. I really do.
Well, we'll see what gets said here this afternoon.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure if they were calling.
Anyone from the...
No, I think they're still...
Yeah.
I think they're trying to get
gonna do one.
A couple of...
We have... Yeah. As a blind woman, like... We
yeah,
have
I'm a blind guy. I'm going to do a discussion summary. I don't think
anyone
so.
Anyone who will volunteer to conduct this discussion.
I've got to point out again, folks, a technical point that we brought up at the beginning yesterday is a strange phasing effect on the stage microphones. It's not on the house ones if someone wants to speak from the floor. It's fine. But there's this weird effect on here. It is not us. We're not putting some effect on there.
I don't know if it sounds as odd to our listeners as it does to us sitting here, but it really does sound strange.
It does sound
sitting
odd, but it is from them. We cannot do anything about it. I'm awfully sorry. But we're stuck with it.
Yep.
Propose Francis to lead us. Francis of Uganda to lead us in the discussion, if she's here.
In front of the microphone, yes.
Francis from
Uganda.
Uganda.
She's here.
All right.
Francis, are you here?
Francis, are you here?
Are you willing
to? You're willing? All right.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much.
We want volunteers.
For,
you, and you.
Yes. Person.
No, I'm English speaking.
Okay. So, I would like to invite Francis from Uganda to come up here.
Be put through the phaser. Yeah.
Absolutely. You put through the ringer. I don't think she was prepared for this,
no,
actually.
No.
The person to do it must not have showed up. Or maybe tied up doing something else.
Well, there are all sorts of other meetings going on as well, aren't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, that's so, right. The executive committee is meeting, and
yeah.
the finance committee is meeting, and a lot of things going on, pulling people away who typically are the leaders of the forum and who really ought to be here and helping out. I never said that.
No, we didn't hear it. Don't worry. Oh dear, and the recording miraculously didn't
right,
work.
Right, Francis
yeah.
is here and...
We're ready to go, I think.
The floor is yours.
This is ACB Radio World.
It
the
certainly
women's
is.
Fourth Women's Forum as a part of the World Blind Union Quadrennial Conference.
And I will say it again, if you'd like to get in touch with us, convention at acbradio.org, email or MSN. We'll get us here, right at this booth, on the machine here. I cannot, because of quirks in the way SMTP works, I cannot get email out. MSN out I can get. So if you have a question or anything, if you want a quick answer, then bring it up on MSN and we'll get back to you. If you want a slow answer, then hey, email will do. Just to remind you that the actual quadrennial 7th General Assembly begins tomorrow, and that will go right the way through till Friday afternoon.
I understand the President of Switzerland will be the first speaker of the morning.
I was rather hoping it might be that, but
yes.
I didn't know that it would be. That is great.
Good afternoon, colleagues. Good afternoon, colleagues. Yeah, thank you. Before we start our discussion, I think we also need to get a volunteer for to rapporteur our ideas so that it will be easy to put it down together for the committee who are going to work on it. Anybody to volunteer? Thank you. Robin from... Good. Robin from Australia has volunteered to help us in that. So, our topic is on capacity building. How do we ensure capacity building in our countries and at the local level? And then, how do we build up on advocacy campaign, especially at local and national levels in our countries? I think these are the two questions we need to answer. But first, we start with the capacity building. Am I clear?
Yes.
Then, if I'm clear, are we having participants? And I'll still need some sight. We all have eyes, but we all do not have sight. So I'll need sight to tell me who is putting up their hands, or participants can also say, excuse me, then speaks. Is that okay? Thank you.
Anybody putting up hands? Mark who is raising his hand or her hand, but nobody is.
I'm told nobody is raising hands. Did we understand the capacity building?
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Since it's after lunch, and the ladies tend to take a little bit of a nap. Can you borrow me the ladies for 2 minutes, please?
Thank you. That's a very good idea.
Great.
And
so, ladies, can we all stand up, please?
Energize.
Can we all stand up, please?
The men.
Thank you very much, Chair. 2 minutes. So everybody's on their feet, right? Including the men. So everybody in this room must stand up. All right. So everybody on your feet, please. That includes you, Shura. And the ladies next to you. And the gentlemen. So can we all be on our feet? And very quickly, so we can get some energy back, we are going to sing a song called Coconut. So, we've all been to preschool, I presume. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, can you have our hands up, both your hands up, up above your shoulders?
And no, fortunately for everyone, we haven't got a webcam.
And then you move them to the right, but open without closing, to the right, open-ended, that's your C. And you bring them up and you close them, that's your O. Build an O in the air, so put your hands together. And then to the left, with an open, it's a C. And then you put attention on the side, that's your N. And then the U, it's up and open. The T is to the side. Do we have it correctly? So it's the C to the right, the O on top, the other C to the left, the O on top, the N on the side, the U up, and the T straight, stretched out. Great! So let's do it quicker. C-O-C-O-N-U-T, N-U-T, N-U-T. Quicker, the last time. C-O-C-O-N-U-T. N-U-T, N-U-T. You can have them back. Thank you.
Well, there we go. That's one way of starting some energy in the room. Yeah, Marlena will be doing that at ACB, yeah.
Or not. Thank you very much, lady, for that activity. It was really active. So let's get into our capacity building. There were already hands. Can we have them? One at a time, please. Ladies, have we forgotten?
No.
Yeah.
Chair lady, can I speak?
Oh. Yes, please.
My name is Lawrence from Nigeria. I think that to make this session what it should be, maybe we should be asking for those who are lawyers, who have legal backings, a bit of understanding of the law to guide us through. I'm sure that by the time they set the ball rolling, those of us who are not in the field of legal activities, we may have one or two contributions to make. Thank you.
They deal with the law.
Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
There are two things that we need to do in terms of building the capacity of women, if I may kick off.
Yes, please. Thank you.
And I think one of the things is that we've been given a clear outline on what is advocacy. And I think for everything that we've discussed since we got here, we will need very serious advocacy skills to be able to carry that through. We've made some resolutions, and whatever is going to be presented this afternoon, for that to happen, you will definitely need communicators, women who are able to provide leadership. Now, let me start by saying that the first thing I think as visually impaired women we need to do in terms of building our capacity. The one gentleman yesterday indicated that we need leadership. So, for some of us, leadership means different things to different people at different times, and you need different leaders for different things. Now, the first thing that I wanted to support in this particular one as we go home is the issue of involving younger women. Because, like Lola said in her presentation, they are not going to be there forever. We need to have some form of a program where we introduce, where you have joint activities between older women and younger women. And one of the activities that could take us forward is the storytelling that we talked about yesterday. So that is the one activity that will enable us to pass on capacity to younger women, and that way we continue the leadership. And that could be done, obviously, at a local level with local social clubs that visually impaired women must establish, and at a regional level, like AFUB should have exchange programs. I would talk in Africa because I know Africa better. They need to establish exchange programs, and that takes us back where other women mentor other women. Because as women, we need mentors. And that way, we are able to tap into untapped potential and recognize the difference. So we need younger women to spend more time with older women. We need older women to adopt younger women so that they can mentor them and introduce them to this movement. The last one, at a national level, we need to establish, Madam Chair, as a visually impaired activist in my own country, as I said, I'm not feeling, as an example, the World Blind Union South Africa Women's Committee at all. I don't feel them. Now, the question is, if I don't feel them at the level where I am, and I'm very active, trust me, if I can't feel them at that level, what more about a rural woman sitting in some corner of South Africa? It means they don't exist at all. So I think that we need to begin answering the question to replace these huge committees with something smaller, more local. So we need to first build, if South Africa has 9 provinces, we need to have a local government-based women's committees. That can then, and then you build it up as you go. So you've got the first committee should be right at a local level, where it's women coming together for whatever. It could be for a social club, it could be for a burial society, it could be for a stock fell, but it should be some activity that brings that women together so that it's not an effort for them to come together. And those different structures can form a unit, and then out of those units, women can independently nominate who will constitute the South African committee. Because at the moment, it's about blind women who belong to organizations. And some blind women don't want to belong to formal organizations. They just want to be a member of a stock fell. And we need those blind women too. So I would like to say we need to change the strategy so we can reach even those blind women we are presently not reaching. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very Chair. Much. I'm going to give chance to Elizabeth from Cameroon. But before that, I would like to emphasize that capacity building for women is really, really very, very important, because if you are not, if your capacity is not built, then you can't feel free to talk in society, you can't contribute anything. So this is a very serious issue on us. We need to take it up. Elizabeth, please, the ground is yours.
Yeah, I just want to say that in capacity building, I think that we should have more workshops that are organized to teach blind women how to do things with their hands, to do craft work. And secondly, I think that it's also good that as in these days, handwork is advised in schools for school children. that blind people should not be left behind. Should also see that in schools they are involved in learning how to work with their hands. And then secondly, I think that group work is important, because in group work there are ideas change, and people learn from each other, and so be able to do one or more things. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Gertrude, I saw your hand up. From Ghana.
Thank you very much. My contribution is in support of the earlier speakers.
Yes.
We need to understand what we want to mean by capacity building. If we go by this plenary speaker, then we are clearer in our understanding what we're talking about now. For me, it is as important as education.
Yes.
That's slightly different from education. You can get a literate woman, a young girl, who is not necessarily confident in herself. And therefore, I would encourage that we recognize this, incorporate self-confidence, awareness, assertiveness, directly or indirectly, and I say directly, whether it's a directly school program, if we can get it, but otherwise, other activities to engage the young girls and youth into their assertiveness development. And part of it was what Henrietta said, mentorship is one good way of doing that. We also need to recognize the gap between the educated girl and woman and the non-educated, and even the word educated is wrong here, the non-illiterate, because the fact that somebody does not read and write does not mean the person is not educated as such, in quotes. And we need to make our programs relevant to the rural people in the rural environment and the capacity that is needed in the rural setting to build up, including the non-formal and the income generation part of it, making it holistic. So psychosocial empowerment, for me, is very important as we build literacy, vocation, and networks that will encourage us, girls, women, and also into the broader women network as a holistic approach. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gertrude. She has spoken about the different gaps and then reminding us of the mentoring system, all which are very, very important. And at this juncture, I would like to call Yao. You will forgive me for the pronunciations of your names, but I think we shall get everything right. Yao from Ghana.
Yeah, thank you. I want to call attention everybody from the perspective of what I will term as catching them young. Catching our girls young right from school. And how do we do it? I feel that at the school level, we should encourage our young girls to build capacity through joining clubs and associations within the school, like school debate societies, that will build their articulation skills. Let us encourage them to also fight for prefectorial positions. For example, class captains, dining hall prefects, and other school office holders, so that they will start building their capacity. And it also behoves on associations of the blind in our various nations to ensure that when we are building or we are programming, we do not forget our young girls in schools. If we go there to encourage them to organize themselves, to take positions in schools and take leadership positions in social clubs and those things that will prepare them for future leadership roles, I think we shall be doing them good. So let us use the catchphrase, cut them young, and we shall begin to see the fruits. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And this one reminds me of something I would like to share with you also. In Uganda, one of the schools actually where I was teaching before, I'm a secondary school teacher. So one time, a blind boy gets through as a head boy, and then teachers get behind him and say, this is a blind boy, he's going to make the school children misbehave, they will be escaping when he's not seeing. But the boy said, look here, I'm not going to be working alone. I will be having prefects and other committees to work with. And it does not mean that this will be the first time misbehavior will start in this school. So that thing denied the boy the leadership. And I think here we need also to educate our school administrators to know that blind people can also be leaders at every level. Of course, the topic is on girls. Can we get somebody on ground?
Madam Chair.
Thank you. From?
I'm Marlena Lieberg from the U.S.
Okay.
I think that all of these things are very important and very good ideas. But I think where we need to begin to build our capacity is looking within our organizations and our associations. We need to reach out to the women who are closest first and help them to believe and to feel empowered. I think that there are many women in organizations who are active in general causes dealing with the blind, who really don't understand the issues that face women who are blind in all of our countries. And I think before we can go outward and build our capacity, we need to educate our sisters in advocacy, our sisters who are working with us on issues, and help them to understand that there are issues that are being left unattended. And once we develop our internal capacity, then we can, with that strength, move outward and develop capacity as we're discussing. But I think if we don't start among ourselves, our foundation will not be strong. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next speaker is Diana from Denmark. Donna Diana from Denmark.
Diana, yeah. Thank you very much. Just a few comments on building the capacity. I believe it's also about striking a very fine balance between, on the one hand, instigating some sense and building a sense of solidarity that we can work towards something that won't immediately give something to us as individuals. And of course, at the same time, when we try and seek to involve people with the work, to make them motivated because they can work towards something that will also eventually benefit themselves. So I think it's striking a fine balance and not falling to one side or the other. Also, I completely agree with issues of leadership training and so on, but I also think it's very important to pay attention to what happens in the grassroots and how can little things happening in the grassroots build and contribute to the bigger picture, because that's where it really matters and that's where it makes a difference to the people involved. We can't all be top leaders in organizations, and I believe more attention has to be given to what happens in the local areas. Now, finally, on the issue of mentoring, I think it's very important that we all try to serve as role models the best that we can, and for example, that even the Women's Committee in the World Blind Union serves as a role model for all the committees that have to be in the making or are already established, showing an example to, that we work towards the same goals and that actually it is possible to function as a committee across countries, across regions, and across continents. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And the issue of training or building capacity of somebody and leaving the person there is another issue we need to tackle, because we need to look at the implementation area also. If you build somebody up and then you leave the person there without putting the skills into practice, then we shall be not doing anything. We shall be doing disservice to ourselves. I think that one is also very important. Any other person?
Victoria from Uganda.
Victor from Uganda.
Thank you, Chair. As previous speakers have said, I want to build on one area that you will realize, Chair and members, that many of our blind women in many countries have received neither formal education nor functional adult literacy. And for empowerment to be meaningful, in my view, one needs to have some kind of education related to a way of living, a way of adding a living. And therefore, I would challenge national organizations of the blind to mainstream this within their strategy as one of the principal things they should do in their advocacy, to train blind women through different approaches, blind girls, and so on, not only through emphasizing enrollment of blind girls in school and in vocational training, but also enrollment of blind girls and women in functional and other non-formal education activities, which benefit some of the ordinary people who are not in the formal school. When people have got this kind of training, then we as national organizations can go further to strengthen that training through involvement of such individuals in various empowering activities. One of the things that makes it difficult for us to empower individuals is when they have not accessed education. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And is there anybody?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Nelly from AFUB.
Hey, Ellie.
Hello.
Ellie from AFUB.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I would like to emphasize that while we are talking of building the capacity of visually impaired women, we should remember that still the capacity of visually impaired men still need to be built. I can assure you, and I'm happy for these men who are here to listen to what I'm saying, we have a number of living examples in our own organization whereby men still think that women have nothing to do in the leadership of their own organization. I don't want to mention names, but it is real. It is still in some men's thinking that how a woman cannot be cannot be a leader, a woman cannot be, even their constitution, they are saying we cannot have more than 10% in our leadership. So while we are talking about building the capacity of women, we still have to build the capacity of men who are still rigid and denying women to come forward to play roles in their own organizations. Thank you, madam.
Thank you very much. And, I have somebody from Zanzibar. Fatma, is it? Yes, can we hear your voice and your view, please?
Yes. My name is Fatma from Zanzibar. I'm agree that my sister said like that. So, in first, me, I agree that the capacity building in my country, we start with the family, because in my country, there is girls and women are hiding. So, if it to hide that people, we make a group to go and to show that we are educated, for example, in a handicraft, and show the material what we are going to make it. So the capacity building starts with the family. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fatima. And I think the issue of capacity building is very, very wide, from individuals to general, from specific to endless. So what we need to do is that, okay, the men who are here, I believe they are pro-women, that's why they are here. Perhaps they wouldn't be here. So what I would ask them to go and send this voice to their fellow men who try to deny access to capacity building for the women in our organizations. Any other person?
Lady Chair.
Just a moment, I'll give you the chance after Nola from Jamaica. The brilliant speaker is going to make it more brilliant now.
Yes, Madam Chair. I'm not going to add any more brilliance. However, I'm reminding the group that we need to be thinking about whether we want to replace the women's group as well, whether we want to improve it, what course of action we need to take with regard to this.
Lola, is that a question or...?
Just reminding.
Reminder.
I am reminding you that we need to be focusing on this as well.
Okay. Thank you. From somebody from East Timor, I'm fearing to pronounce names badly. Maybe you'll have to tell us your name as you speak. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Domingos. I'm from East Timor Blind Union. I'm very stressed to talk about this capacity building. I think that capacity building is very, very good, and especially as a braille letter is very important. So how does blind people can write, can read and the blind letter, and also mobility, and the mobility can help a lot for the blind people can go and can help themselves, and now in the our country, we have established for this issue about the capacity building for Braille and mobility training. I think this is my opinion for this today for you, but saying that my organization was established and for capacity building for Braille and mobility training. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. This I'm going to pick the last person for this session because we are already time is gone, and that is Evelyn from Namibia. I think she will bless the discussion.
Sorry.
Evelyn?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This point is very important. I would like to say something about it. The build capacity is very needed among our women. As we have our leagues, our women leagues in our associations, we need to build our capacities in order to perform or strengthen our leagues. Without build our capacities, we can't perform in our leagues. And then second point about this, we have to build capacity among the people, those are working with us, the blind people, because other people, they say it's just only they wasting the time when we have our organization, and when we are studying in the schools, in the integration, we say just only they wasting the time. We can't do anything. It's better to build their capacities. That's Evelyn. And ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of this discussion, and it's very unfortunate that we have not done something about the advocacy, how we can ensure it at our national and local levels. But I think the person who discussed it was really very, very clear. Maybe we need to get that paper to each of us so that it helps us to implement some of the things she mentioned in advocacy. And me personally, I enjoyed it so much. And I would like to thank Lola very, very...
Excuse me, Francis.
Just a moment.
Okay.
Yes?
Yeah, our attention was drawn, and no doubt, I mean, the fact is that we needed to talk about the Women's Committee, and I was wondering whether you were saying that we're out of time and therefore there's not going to be any discussion.
But I'm told that we're out of time. I don't know. Maybe. Gertrude, do you have some recommendations?
Can I speak?
Yes, please.
This is Nakyung Lee from South Korea, and are we talking about the Women's Committee right now? Can I speak about that? Do we have time for that?
Yes, you can speak about that.
Okay.
The strategy, how to start.
I think there should be an independent organization of women rather than such things as branch or committee, because it is easier and more effective to speak out our opinions when we are working as an independent entity. In South Korea, since 2007, we have started Korean Blind Women's Union, which is not a subordinate branch of Korean Blind Union, but an independent organization ratified by our government. Although we are not receiving any budgets right now from the government, but we are putting our efforts, such as planning to hold Women's Convention in coming September of 2008, So in conclusion, we strongly believe that every country should have an independent organization for blind women rather than a committee within other organizations. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I hope our rapporteur has captured that. Any other commendation?
Get it back on the floor.
About the committee?
Get it back on the floor.
Yes, thank you.
Few comments and then a question. My comment is that for experience in Ghana and in Africa, women's wing as part of the broader organization of the blind works. And from my experience, it makes us stronger. Once there is no imposition, there is understanding, and there is network. And Ghana Association of the Blind and its women's wing collaborate beautifully, and number of countries it works as well. So I would adjust our sister's contribution a bit, that probably not just a committee, a wing, but a wing as part of the national organization, local organization, branch organization, and together we'll be then be stronger as blind and partially sighted persons. Now my question. What is the scenario like in the other regions of World Blind Union? Because that will help inform how we would wish the Women's Committee at a World Blind Union level to work. In World Blind Union, we have two areas of work. We have committees, we have commissions. Committees have representatives from regions. Commissions are made up of experts or interest persons. But what happens in Europe, India, Pacific, Africa, whatever, will help us to see what we need to do next. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we are really time, but I think we shall have to stop here. It's sad that we didn't have much time for this topic. Perhaps during our leisure, we need to come up with some other things which we can share, maybe during the assembly. Thank you very much for all people who have contributed to this time.
Traduction, s'il vous plaît.
And I thank you very much for, I thank Lola. Thank you very much for your brilliant presentation. Thanks.
And with that, we come to the end of the 1 hour discussion.
This is Kiki. Could I?
Kiki.
Could I just?
You got a bit more.
I have a concern that I must raise with you all. And I want to have your guidance, or perhaps a statement. I will report from this forum to the General Assembly, and I have heard many women coming up to me and talking about the sad situation that happened today. Then many women has to go to the executive meeting, to the nominations committee meeting, to the credentials committee meeting, and interrupt this wonderful forum that I think that has been very successful. Thank you, everyone. But it is very unfortunate that due to economic constraints, there were no possibilities for putting the executive and the other meeting otherwise than in the Women's Forum. Although we have adopted a resolution in 2000 that says clearly that no other activities should interfere with the Women's Forum. And I just wanted to hear your short statement, if you agree with me that I can report this to the General Assembly. Do you agree?
Yes.
Or do you want me to not mention it?
I think the applause means they agree.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks.
And I think quite rightly so. If I
thank you very much. And we are now getting into the process of reporting the discussion.
You have finished. There is a announcement over.
Excuse me, I just would like to hand over the floor to the rightful person. Thank you very much.
And so we will jump almost immediately into the
okay,
reports.
Okay, gentlemen, I have been asked for an invitation from the Russian delegation. They would like to have you at the end of this session to step 2 minutes out of this building for a nice photograph of the Women's Forum. This is an invitation from the Russian delegation. Thank you very much.
Oh, I'd like to get a look at that. I think we'll jump probably
much.
Straight
it's
into the
again.
Next session.
So we have
we'll see what happens with the other groups.
The time where we can hear all the report of the discussion of the three groups. And I would like to invite...
Oh dear, that's it. They turned theirs off. I thought, oh no, something's gone. But no.
Something, I don't know what's going on. I guess they have to.
Okay, I would like to invite all the reporters from the groups to come up stage. Okay, I think from the Spanish-speaking group, I would like to invite Maria Soledad Cisterna. Okay, can you come up, please? And from the French-speaking group, I would like to invite Elizabeth Gier from Switzerland. Can you please come up here? Can a volunteer help? And I got the confirmation from Francis that the report from the English-speaking people will be done by Robin McKinsky. Sorry, Robin, is that? From New Zealand, all right.
So we're waiting for that now. Yeah. Going up to the stage.
They apparently want them to actually go up on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. Normally they do it from the floor, don't they?
Yes, as they have before, it's more efficient.
Buenas tardes a todas. El resultado del trabajo del grupo de habla hispana y de habla portuguesa en países del África nos arroja lo siguiente. En relación a la primera pregunta de cómo podemos mejorar la capacitación a nivel nacional, regional o local de mujeres con discapacidad, tomamos nota de diversos aspectos. El primero de ellos, y que resultó ser interesante en nuestro debate, es que esta capacitación debe ir siendo paso a paso. Hay experiencias en países y que las dijeron participantes en cuanto a una capacitación luego pasa a un curso
then we have a course,
y
más
se constituye en un foro
and that considerates constitutes a forum and sometimes that forum is permanent.
These
courses create a special capacity for which we have care and work. These distinct stories change in different countries. And we need to have a discussion from country to country to make them the same. That's how we can build a capacity.
De tal manera que las mujeres se profesionalicen y puedan ganarse la vida por un lado, lo cual
we're still not getting the actual translation. Was Marlene doing that bit?
She was for a moment, but
por otro lado,
she doesn't. The headphones are not reaching her, and so she's not. Without headphones, it's very hard to hear.
It is from back here. It really is.
Is our translation box?
No, our translation box hasn't been touched, unless someone has.
Civiles, políticos, económicos, sociales, culturales, la forma de elaborar y desarrollar proyectos.
como también la obtención de créditos para la realización de iniciativas de carácter laboral. Fue muy importante para este grupo poder tener muy clara la necesidad de visibilizar la situación de la mujer con discapacidad dentro de la esfera de la mujer en general, de la mujer que no presenta discapacidad. Hubo también la precisión de que muchas veces para una mujer con discapacidad resulta algo incómodo esta primera inserción en los
women, frequently that can be something that is seen as uncomfortable for that woman to become inserted into a regular
someone upset the box, but we're back.
Situation, and therefore it felt it's very important that we find ways of overcoming this uncomfortable situation. And we said that it really is very important to make our situation more visible, because we don't want for disabled women to be left aside. We also said that it's very important that there be training given with disabled leaders who've already been trained to share their knowledge with younger disabled women, and this would then have a multiplying effect in society. But however, on the other side, if we looked at things from a general gender perspective, we can see that such training also should involve disabled men. And we also need to involve different segments of society, not just the things we've mentioned already. On the one hand, women, on the other hand, disabled persons. And a further point that we discussed was the need to include in this training mothers of disabled children, so that these mothers too be made aware of rights and they understand how they can improve the quality of life for their children. And the second conclusion we came to was to do with committees. And in the case of Latin America, we have a women's committee in our region. And after our last meeting, we changed the name to the Committee of Equality and Gender Equality. And this committee is going to be working in the 4 years to come. So I think things are looking good in the Latin American region. And also our friends from the Portuguese areas of Africa also said that in Angola they also have national women's committees, and in this particular country there are 600 women who are visually impaired that are involved in this committee. So this committee is looking at issues of visually impaired women as well. These are the conclusions that came out of our group discussion. Thank you.
And again, we must apologize for the lack of translation at the start of that.
All right, thank you very much. Next we are going to hear the report from the French-speaking group. The floor is yours, Elizabeth.
Merci.
Thank you. After that excellent presentation, I don't think we have much to add, because all the things that have just been said are also things that we discussed in our working group, which, as I say, consisted of representatives from the African continent. We did have differences in structure and in the operations in our different countries, which did present us with some difficulties in allowing us to meet in a committee. So before we can start to talk about capacity building for women, we said that we need to start by just having a voice. And this is already a huge problem, giving women a voice in these regions, be it because of a lack of training or closed labor markets. And therefore, something that struck us as important is the need to encourage women to be bold enough to be involved at a political, economic, and social level, and to be able to rely on people who are trained in committees and associations, so that we can involve people who are isolated, perhaps timid, and who are not in a position to join these movements. So as I say, in addition to a desire for emancipation, we said that we need more activities and to have a more active movement and awareness raising. And as I said, we'd like to endorse everything that the Spanish-speaking group has already said, which reflects very much what we discussed in our group as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. Now we are going to hear the report from the English-speaking group. You're here, Robin?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you can start now.
Thank you. This is Robin McKenzie from Australia. Before I take us through the notes that I wrote down during our session with the English-speaking group, I'd like to preface my comments by letting you know that I'm also on the resolution committee that will be discussed in the next session, and I'm pleased to say that many of the areas that have been raised today in this session are covered in some of the resolutions that are being put forward, so that's really heartening to see. I'll just take you now through the points that we raised in our session. At a local level, we discussed that we need to have good communicators, that women need to be trained in being able to communicate what their needs and what the information requirements are that women have, women and young girls have. We need women who are able to provide leadership through mentorship, and one of our participants specifically spoke about involving younger women and having a program where younger women are paired with older women and the older women take women through and mentor them through some of the leadership and information needs that a young woman needs in order to be a good leader within our community and in community in general. We could work at a local level within developing clubs and associations and networks of blind women that might come together for not necessarily specifically oriented women's blind union activities, but any activities, because when women work together, information sharing is a natural result of that process. And that could be something that encourages women to actually come together. I know in Australia, I'm the executive officer of Blind Citizens Australia, and whenever I'm touring around Australia, a lot of our members or a lot of the blind people that I meet will say that they're not political, so therefore they don't want to be involved with Blind Citizens Australia. But I think you can be an active advocate and a leader in your community and not necessarily want to run for office with your local government. Establish exchange programs for younger women so that they can actually see and have a hands-on experience of methods by which other organisations and countries and systems operate. At a national level, within World Blind Union, we need a women's committee and local-based women's committees. One of our participants spoke about you need to have a series of smaller groups, because when you have a larger body, you get lost in that larger body. Build small local structures so that women can come together. We need to run workshops. A couple of our participants spoke specifically about running workshops where people build and develop hand skills, things like craft work. Group programs allowing people to share their ideas. And make programs relevant to rural women. One of our members talked about catching them young, helped girls to join clubs and associations at school level and start at a very early age so that they build their confidence and their sense of self and that they build their skills in being able to deliver speeches and presentations. Another participant spoke about we need to build in capacity internally first before we go out and move out into the world. Build our foundation first. Build a sense of solidarity and build a sense of, strike a balance between what people can do and what people can achieve. We need to build skills and then put it into use. It's all well and good to develop programs, but it's another to provide opportunities for women to implement the skills that they've gained through any of the programming or training. We need to lobby for and campaign for vocationally oriented training, and we need to build mobility and life skills within our young women. We need to take an audit of and look at what the various Worldwide Union regions are doing so that other regions can learn what works and what doesn't. And that's about it from the rest, from the English-speaking group. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much for the reports. And I hope that all of us can take all the notes and going back home and started to run advocacy, and also you, the one who hasn't started a committee in their region or a country, they can start it now. And we can share all the information that we have from one country to another country, from one region to another region, so we can establish a bond of powerful blind women, whether it is locally, nationally, or internationally. So I guess that we are all about that. All right. Thank you very much. I'm Rina from Indonesia, and I'll thank you very much for your all cooperation. Thank you.
Oh, there we go. That's the report.
So I have two announcements. One is an important announcement for Pavlova Tsivka from Bulgaria, member number 219, and Pavlina Stefanovia, member number 220. They should go to the reception desk for information about their flight of tomorrow. And the next thing is, I ask you now to welcome a group of Geneva gospel singers which will give you 2-3 songs to this.
Yeah, okay. Stage now, yes they are. All dressed in black. They file past us. Sorry, Chris.
They said they're Indonesian. An Indonesian choir? Is that, or no, is that
Geneva.
Just their name?
Geneva.
Oh, Geneva.
In Geneva.
Better put my own headphones on here.
Now we'll try and get some sense of stereo out of this because the technicians have left a couple of mics up.
That would be nice.
One.
Chrissy, I'll turn my microphone off.
Center stage, yep, okay. And one near the back of the hall. So we should get a certain amount of ambience. I hope. We will try it. We will. We will hope for this. Now, I've heard these people rehearsing at lunchtime, and they're good. They are good, folks. I have a horrid feeling, though, we're going to get a bit of that nasty phasing effect, for which I apologize, but it seems to be coming from the stage mic, so we'll just have to make the most of it. Let's see. Don't forget, free whole of the week, the whole of the time we're here, it's convention@ecbradio.org. You can reach us, email or MSN. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions, I'm not sure, we might even be able to get them to the forum. I think it's actually probably going to be mono, but never mind, it's worth a try. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the final session of the Women's Forum. And what a way to start. My name is Marianne Diamond and I'm the chair of this session. During this session we are going to hear from Birgitte Blokland following some very hard work done by the Resolutions Committee over the last 2 days. We'll then hear from Robin McKenzie, who you just heard from before, who is a first-time participant at one of our women's forums, and we thought it would be really nice to hear from a first-time participant about their perspective, the highs and lows, maybe, of the forum. Then we will have some more music, and then we will come back to me, and I will just talk a little bit about where to from here, and then we'll end the session with music, and as we've heard, a photo at the end out of this room. So that's the structure for the next hour. So I'm sure Birgitte Blokland needs no introduction. For people who have been to many women's forums, they will know that Birgitte has been involved in resolutions and leadership in our forums for many years. So welcome, Birgitte. The floor is yours.
Thanks so much, Marianne. Well, good afternoon. Hear my voice opening the Women's Forum and almost closing it. We have announced the members of the Resolutions Committee to you at the beginning of the forum. As you know, we have invited new people, and we are very happy that there were several persons who were interested in joining us and learning on the spot how it works with resolutions. So I would like to thank my team first and foremost before I continue. Many thanks to Sigrun Besadottir, to Robin McKenzie, to Marvelena Quesada, to Shulakdak and to Safura Khan. What our team has done is review all the information that was given to us, some in a form of a real resolution, others with suggestions for resolutions, others with major comments or a report. And we have discussed and distilled from all this information the main points into resolutions that are, we hope, as concrete and feasible as possible, so that the officers for the next quadrennium can actually work with them. We have received one resolution from Unionen Hagen, including background and text for resolution. We received one call for resolution based on a number of suggestions from the Spanish, Italian and Portuguese group. One suggestion for a resolution from Gertrude Fefomein. One text from the French-speaking group with the workshop conclusions. One text from the Moroccan delegation. One suggestion from Manjula Rat. One from Gloria Peniza and Natalia Aguala. And one from Diana Steintoft. Before we start reading to you the resolutions, I would like to urge the Women's Forum to concentrate on the content. We have been working very fast. The printing team of our hosts here have done an excellent job. I'm sure there could be some changes in the text, but please concentrate on the main message and the content for now. I already mentioned the printing team of our hosts, led by Christine Koch. I would like to thank her very much. She's done an excellent job to get everything to us. And also the large print versions have been very nicely laid out. I've been going around the room previously and given a copy to all of you who have a computer so that you have it on your computer. We have a very limited number of Braille versions here and large print versions. I think I've been able to give to the translators a print version already, but those who need to translate and have no print version nor an electronic version, could you please come forward and get yourself a copy? Those of you who do not have anything, also please either come forward or raise your hand, and I would like to ask if you could please share per delegation one document, as we have few copies. So if you are two or three in a delegation, please just one. Could I first see the hands for print copies, please? Only print copies, so that someone can get to you with the right version. Please hold your hand up for a print copy, especially the translators. Keep your hands up for print copies. Yeah, I need you. I got a wonderful volunteer here. Now please your hands for Braille copies. My mother, who's there with the pink shirt, has... just one, yes. Please, if you already have a version on your computer, don't put up your hand. Only if you do not have any information from the resolutions, please put up your hand for the Braille version now. Yes. And please, just one per delegation, so that every delegation can have access to the information.
This is Marianne here. Just while the documents are being distributed, we have an announcement
Would the participant from Congo please go to the reception, because your luggage has now been found and you can collect it.
Can I also have an announcement? I think there are still copies on Women's Voice right on the table from the entrance door into this hall. Please take a copy and read this wonderful newspaper from the African women. As long as the copies are there, it's up to you to just take one or two to carry home. Thanks.
I'll just wait for a little bit longer, because it's important that every delegation has a copy, although it will be read out to you slowly, and we hope that the language we have chosen is easy for everybody to understand.
There is no more Braille copies left.
Please, those who have it on their computer, please do not take a Braille copy. There are people that don't have anything and they need it. All right. Yeah. All right. I would like to ask Sephora Khan, a new member to the Resolutions Committee, to please read slowly so that everybody can listen, hear, and understand. We will take one resolution at a time. Again, I repeat, we have tried to put all the suggestions that are feasible into one resolution. There are just a few of them, so I think you could bear with us and we will discuss them one by one. Sephora, go ahead when you're ready.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. Before I read the resolutions to you, I want to thank Birgitta and my resolutions committee for affording me this wonderful learning opportunity. I have really learnt a lot, and I appreciate that. Resolution number one, WBU Women's Committee and Women's Forum. Taking into account the results already achieved through the actions of the Women's Committee and the long way still to go, and the importance of the Women's Forum as a platform for exchange of knowledge and information, we resolve that WBU officers appoint a new Women's Committee for the period 2008 to 2012. Membership consists of the chairs of the regional women's committees. The officers appoint the chair of the WBU Women's Committee. WBU urges its regional unions and national members to appoint a women's committee and provide a status report to the WBU executive in 2010.
Page number, excuse me please, what is the page number which you are reading in Braille?
Page 3. I started in page 2. And I'm now on page 3.
Page 3. Thank you.
WBU officers make arrangements for a fifth women's forum to take place prior to the WBU 8th General Assembly in 2012, ensuring that no concurrent sessions or meetings not relating to women's issues take place.
Thank you so much, Safora. There were several resolutions or proposals to make a resolution on this item, and by your applause, I take it that you feel that the committee has put into words your feelings. Is the Women's Forum of the World Land Union gathered here in Geneva in the year 2008 adopting this first resolution presented to you? Yes, thank you. It is carried. Sephora, when you're ready.
Resolution number 2, balanced representation in WBU. Although WBU pursues true democracy through gender balanced representation in its leadership, it is their responsibility of national members to ensure that balanced representation is achieved. Therefore, we resolve that WBU executive urges its regions to put in place training programs using the WBU leadership and mentoring training kit for blind and partially sighted women within the next 4 years to recruit and retain women for leadership positions by providing necessary arrangements for participation, to send balanced delegations to the General Assembly of 2012, including the chairperson of the National Women's Committee, and to send representatives of the National Women's Committees to the next WBU Women's Forum.
Thank you for that again, Sephora. And thank you for that applause. Although we want to make this official, so I'm going to ask you, the participants of the Women's Forum of the World Land Union gathered in Geneva in 2008, if you adopt the resolution number 2 presented to you. All in favor say aye. Carried. Thank you. Sephora, then, resolution 3.
Resolution number 3, women and the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. The UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities has come into force and includes specific references to women and girls. It is important that the WBU, in its efforts to promote the convention, gives special attention to the rights of blind and partially sighted women and girls. We resolve that WBU officers put in place a shadow committee to monitor the rights of blind and partially sighted women and girls under the UN Convention, gather and use the information and training tools already in place in the WBU regions to educate women and to lobby governments on the right of blind and partially sighted women and girls, liaise and lobby with women and disability on NGOs to include the rights and needs of women and girls with disabilities in general and blind and partially sighted women and girls in particular in their work. Cooperate with women and disability NGOs when approaching third parties like the UN to lobby for the implementation of the UN Convention.
Thank you very much, Sephora, for reading so clearly and slowly.
Sorry, Brigitte.
Yes?
Just before you place that motion, I just have one question, please.
Could you please
allow
say
me.
Your name and your country
my
so
name
that everybody knows?
Okay, my name is Henrietta Bogopane Zulu from South Africa. I just have a quick question.
Yes.
On this one, just before you put it.
Yes.
I see on the section on you refer to disability NGOs. I just need clarity for my own. What does that mean? Does it mean broader disability organizations? Because if you look at the last part, after cooperation, we do have disability programs in government as well. So when we say disability NGOs, can't we find a more inclusive word that any disability-related program, not necessarily non-governmental organizations only? I'm just a little bit concerned about us specifically just saying disability NGOs, because then it kind of doesn't give weight to other disability programs that are not run by NGOs.
Okay,
I can clarify if you need. Is Kiki?
Thank you, Kiki. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, as I understand it, and so as it is drafted, I take it as the ongoing work within the disability movement that call themselves IDA, International Disability Alliance, is what is meant. It is really the pure core disability organization that we know about. There are the Inclusion International, DPI, there are VN, WNUSP, and there are others. I think there are Hard of Hearing, the World Federation of Deaf Blind, and those have formed the network that they call IDA. And I am quite sure, because these groups already work very closely together on these matters to make sure that the convention will be implemented by the government and the parliaments. And they call themselves, of course, NGOs, as they are NGOs, while governments are governmental organizations. These are non-governmental organizations. Thanks.
Thank you for clarifying that, Kiki, and I just would like to add, Henrietta, that to take away your question, at the last sentence we say third parties also, so whenever lobbying is taking place for the implementation of the UN Convention, including the rights of blind and partially sighted women and girls, that should be taken on board. Does that answer your question?
No, I can live with it. If we all agree that that's what it means, okay. I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. If there are no further questions, could I then ask all the participants of the Women's Forum of the World Blind Union gathered in Geneva in 2008, if you adopt the third resolution just read out to you, please say aye.
Aye.
Then this resolution is carried. Thank you. Sephora, if you're ready.
Resolution number 4. Access to health care. Research and development studies show that blind and partially sighted women with HIV and AIDS are overlooked by both the HIV and AIDS and the disability movement worldwide. While there is a decrease in the occurrence of HIV and AIDS in general, there is an increase in cases of women who are blind or partially sighted. Adding the lack of access to information and to health care services, we resolve that WBU President urges and advises the UN and NGOs working with HIV and AIDS and disabilities to include the needs of blind and partially sighted women in their programs, and the WBU officers adopt strategies currently in place in its regions for this purpose. WBU officers to support national members to make existing information on HIV and AIDS and health services accessible specifically to blind and partially sighted women. WBU encourages its development committees to work on projects on mobile health care services for rural areas.
Thank you so much, Sephora.
Birgitta.
I will take questions now. Please state your name and country and put your question.
Gracias. Soy Ana Peláez, de España. Me acabo de dar cuenta, me parecen todas las resoluciones perfectas y que han recogido muy bien el espíritu de las
the spirit of the contributions made to them, and I'd like to really commend the committee for the drafting them thus. But I've just realized that we're appointing exclusively blind and visually impaired women, and it would make sense. It makes sense for us when we speak of the composition of national delegations for assistance to this kind of meetings of the World Blind Union. But I propose, although these have been some resolutions have been approved already, that we include where possible also girls. So children, girls and women, children, so partially sighted and blind, women and girls in issues of human rights and issues of healthcare and the resolution we're looking at the moment on health or any other resolution that can affect us so that we don't overlook girls also. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for that point, Anna.
Madam,
I think you have seen in the one on the UN Convention that we have done that, and it is a point that we will take into account when we revise or give our last revision to the texts this afternoon, that we will take on board your suggestion to wherever it is possible and desirable to add girls. Thank you very much for that, Anna.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
This is Marlena Lieberg from the U.S., this may not be possible to do. I think this resolution is very good. I would like to see us expand, though, the portion where it says WBU officers to support national members to make existing information on HIV, AIDS, and healthcare services accessible, especially to blind and visually impaired, etc. I have expressed several times that I also have a great concern that other women's issues dealing with cancer, breast cancer, etc., need to be made accessible. And I don't know if that can happen in the context of this resolution, and I'd like to put that thought forward for consideration. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Of course, we can take a look at that. The resolutions presented to you today is based on the information that we received, and as we have not received any proposals for the area of cancer that you mentioned, it has not been included here. But of course, the resolution on HIV/AIDS goes for many different illnesses, and awareness raising and information is important for all health services, really. We will see what we can do, and otherwise we will always be able to hand it on to the next officers, the incoming officers of the next term, to take that into consideration also. Would that be satisfactory to you if we do it that way?
Yes, that's fine, and I tried to write a resolution and wasn't able to write it on anything from which I could print. So
okay.
I completely understand, and I'm just asking the Assembly if it's possible to just maybe add a couple of words that would include other women's health issues such as cancer.
Okay, thank you. We will do it either this way or the other one that I just mentioned.
Brigitte?
Yes?
Okay, it's Henrietta again. There's two things I would like to... On the second paragraph,
mm-hmm.
World Blind Union presiding, you've left out, after the United Nations, I would like to add governments, because a lot of HIV programs are implemented by governments, and you've left them out there. And then on the proposal that Marlene has just made, if you look at the paragraph that she read, World Blind Union officers
mm-hmm.
to support national members to make existing information on HIV and AIDS, I think it should be HIV and AIDS and related matters. And the reason why I think we should add it there is because the UN session on HIV and AIDS has actually, for women, linked HIV and AIDS to cervical cancer, have linked HIV and AIDS to TB. So we would want to maybe try to rewrite a new one to let us say information on HIV and AIDS and related health services, so okay. that you are able to extend it to other.
Okay. Thank you for that, Henrietta. I think that with your suggestion and the proposal that I made, I would like to try and not get into actually rewriting it right here and rewording it, but we take your suggestion on board and try and solve it so that other illnesses and other healthcare services in one way or the other are included. With this said, and if there are no other points to be raised by the members of the Women's Forum, I would like to ask the participants of the Women's Forum of the World Blind Union gathered here in Geneva in 2008, if you adopt... Pardon? If you adopt the resolution just read out to you, those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Then this one is carried with the comments made.
Resolution number 6. Women and WBU strategic plan. Resolutions are a powerful tool to influence the work of the WBU as they form the basis for its strategic plan per quadrum. We resolve that WBU officers include all resolutions in its strategic plan 2008 to 2012, as well as those already passed but not yet implemented.
Any questions on this one? It's basically a reminder. No questions? Then I ask the participants of the Women's Forum of the World Blind Union gathered here in Geneva in 2008, if you adopt the resolution just read out to you. Those in favor say aye. Then this one is carried too. There's just one small one, but important one to go. Sephora?
Resolution. Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Yes, please go ahead.
Sorry, it's Rose from New Zealand. I just have a question about the first resolution, and I'm not sure that it was actually passed in the manner that you have passed the remainder of the resolutions. And if it was, my apologies for raising this belatedly. In the second paragraph, there is a sentence that states, the officers appoint the chair of the WBU Women's Committee. We from New Zealand would like to propose that there's an amendment to that that says that the chair of the Women's Committee will be a blind woman.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you for that suggestion. It has always been and will always be a blind woman, otherwise it will be complete.
Excuse me.
Just a second. Sorry, because there are several people talking to me at the same time. Until now, the chair of the WBU Women's Committee has always been a blind or partially sighted woman, and that will also be so in the future. But we will take your suggestion on board and see if we can arrange something. There was another question. Could you please state your name and country?
Gertrude from Ghana. Just on resolution number 3. Just to enlighten, we have issues about...
Excuse me. Is this a textual or is it on the content? Because the resolutions have already been passed, and if we're now going to revisit all of them, I'm afraid we won't be able to finish also in time. So is it really an important point, or is it a suggestion that you have for the
just
group that we can take?
We can take it later. Thank you.
Then I prefer that you take it later when we finish and we will see if we can do
fine.
It. Thank you for that. I'm sorry to cut
that.
You short.
No, I'm very happy.
Okay, thank you. Sephora, if you can take the last one.
Resolution number 6. Vote of thanks. The WB...
Sorry, could you just hold on? We're in the middle of reading the last resolution. Thank you.
Resolution number 6. Vote of thanks. The WBU Women's Forum extend its heartfelt thanks to the Swiss hosts, the WB Women's Forum Program Committee, all volunteers, all guides and interpreters for making this event possible.
Thank you very much for that. I take it that that one is carried too by the participants of the Women's Forum gathered here in Geneva in 2008. So with that, all the resolutions presented to you have been carried. The procedure will be as followed. The Resolutions Committee will hand in all these resolutions to the Resolutions Committee of the General Assembly. And they will be presented to the General Assembly and hopefully passed, if not all, at least some of them. And that means that the incoming officers will take them on board in their activities. Regarding the General Assembly resolutions, we have not received any resolution, and I know that it is because of the short time that we had available on the sessions of yesterday afternoon, on employment. I can imagine that you may have some strong feelings that you wish to translate into a resolution. If so, you can present those to the General Assembly Resolutions Committee. But the procedure is a little bit different. So please bear in mind that you need at least two delegations to the General Assembly to sign it. Otherwise, the Resolutions Committee cannot take it on board. And also bear in mind that you cannot make suggestions or just points or a report. It has to be filled out in the way that was explained to you yesterday also. And guidelines were also sent to you by the WBU office, so please keep those in mind if you would like to send in a resolution during the General Assembly. Before I finish, I would like to thank you all for your participation. And having passed the resolutions that we have passed, and having spoken about balanced representation, and having women in leadership, I hope you all go home and recruit and train new people in your countries to become women leaders like you are, so that the future of WBU and your national organization and your regional unions is secured to have true democracy. Now in WBU, this time around, at the General Assembly, the incoming officers will be voted for. I suppose that all of you have seen the list of nominations for those posts. And of course we are very pleased that there are women there, ready to take on a huge workload. But we're also sad to see that there are only two. I would like to mention them to you and ask you to support them. They're good leaders, they're good team workers, they're skilled, so no excuses for not voting for them. You have heard Marion Diamond, who is now the first Vice President. I think we have read, heard and seen the hard work that she's done and her commitment. I don't think she needs any more introduction. And I also would like to mention Frances Gandhiro from Uganda, who is also an excellent leader and willing to take on a post in the leadership of WBU. So please support her, support Marianne, lobby your delegations, and lobby the next 4 years. You still have homework to do. The homework I would like to give you is to work hard so that in 4 years we will have a good list of a balanced representation and more women in the leadership of WBU. Thank you again, and have a good General Assembly, and have good results with the important work that you do in your national countries, because you're all very needed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Birgitta, and I'd like to thank each and every one of the Resolutions Committee, because it is very hard work to do in a very short time. So thanks to all of you. Thank you for the kind words for Frances and myself, and I was very excited to hear in the resolutions that the leadership and mentoring kit is encouraged to be used. As in my term as chair of the Women's Committee, that was our major project. We worked very hard, as Birgitta said, to produce it, and I was really pleased to go to Mongolia this year and find out that it had been translated into Mongolian, so that was quite exciting. So thank you for that, and I'm just going to move on quickly because we want to finish in time. We have a celebration, a welcome drinks, end of forum and welcome to the General Assembly tonight, so we want to finish on time. So I'd like to introduce Robin McKenzie, who is going to just share with us some of her view of, opinion of, feeling as being a first-time participant at the Women's Forum. And if you haven't got to meet Robin, week, you will hear her laugh regularly. Welcome, Robin.
Thank you, Marianne.
I realized at lunchtime I actually haven't had much of an opportunity, or haven't taken much of an opportunity to laugh over the last 2 days, so I hope the next 5 days I have many opportunities to laugh, and I'm expecting in about an hour's time to be heard quite throughout Geneva. I want to thank Marianne for asking me to present to you today, and I will aim to keep my presentation brief so that we can get on with our celebrations. This is my first time as a delegate at the Women's Forum, and I've enjoyed my time very much. I thought I'd tell you a little bit about who I am and then go through some of my experience over the last 2 days. It does include mostly good points, but there are one or two points of that may be considered to be negative, but I think constructive. Who am I? Robin McKenzie. I come from Australia, and I currently work for the Blind Citizens Australia, which is the national peak representative organisation of people who are blind or vision impaired in Australia. I've been working in that position for 10 months and I enjoy it greatly. Marianne is actually a great mentor to me, and although there's not that much difference in our ages, there is a sharing of the older woman to the younger. And I have
called her old.
I'm not necessarily. I've been vision impaired. I'm a partially sighted person. I've been vision impaired since I was 8 years old. I have an eye condition called juvenile macular degeneration, which affects my central vision. It makes reading and recognising faces very difficult. I am in a unique position in that I use a range of alternative formats for reading and writing. About 10 years ago, I learnt Braille because I found that some of the better speakers and presenters are people who are blind who are good users of Braille. And I found that by observing people using Braille in presentations, they're able to maintain gaze and look out at their audience. They didn't bang their papers on microphones, and they weren't contorting their bodies in all sorts of positions to get the right light to read their print. And so it was definitely something that made me want to learn Braille, and I put a lot of effort into learning Braille. And I think that that's one of the experiences that I take from the Women's Forum over the last 2 days, that when we see others succeeding in a way that perhaps we didn't consider for ourselves, then it gives us permission to try new ways or to experiment with other strategies so that we can better manage our information and our communication needs. And I think that's one of the great strengths of the World Blind Union, but as a woman, one of the great strengths to see here at the Women's Forum, that there is this magnificent opportunity for us to share the way we manage our lives. I come from a family where my sister and my father have the same eye condition, and again, the support, the peer support that comes from having close people to me share the eye condition and how they manage that eye condition helps me greatly to understand what it is that I can and can't do, and also provides me with an opportunity to share with my sister and my father some of my strategies which assists them. Again, that's something that I think I have observed here at the Women's Forum, that there is a diversity of women who have such a diversity of experiences. I'm so humbled by some of the stories that I've already heard. I am very lucky, I'm terribly fortunate to come from a country where it is relatively safe for me as a woman who is partially sighted to walk around in my community and feel that I will not have my body violated, will not have my rights violated. Then I come to a forum such as this and learn of the experiences of women who come from countries that are not as developed and fortunate as Australia, and it humbles me because I did not realise how lucky I am. And it's forums such as this that point that out to those of us from the more developed countries. One of the things that I have been so impressed by, and I have shared with my fellow delegates, is the multilingualism of so many of the women here in this room. When we had a Spanish-speaking woman speak just before, I noticed that all of us put our headphones on except Brigitte. I don't like Brigitte. She's too talented. She speaks too many languages and is just too capable. I plan by the next women's forum to speak at least two more languages so that I can start to compete with Brigitte. I would urge my fellow women participants to, when you come to the women's forum next, that you do put your hand up and volunteer for an opportunity that may arise. I put up my hand when Brigitte asked for volunteers for the resolutions committee, and I think it has greatly added to my experience of this past 2 days. I've met some outstanding women on this committee, and to hear all of the issues that have been raised by you so that we as a committee could put together resolutions, which I'm so pleased have all passed, at least through this forum, has been a very good opportunity for me to gain a greater understanding of, one, how the World Blind Union operates, but two, how there are so many issues that face women and where do you actually start? It's quite a challenge. That leads me to one of my final 2 points, which is one of the things that I've found challenging over the last 2 days is that whilst we've had a fantastic opportunity to share with each other and make statements about what should be done, there has not been, to my mind, sufficient enough discussion or understanding about being able to resource those ideas that have been raised. It's really important to be practical and have an implementation strategy. Something I mentioned yesterday, that it's really important that we have measures in place so that we know in 4 years' time, did we succeed or did we not succeed? What were our expectations? What would we see as a significant milestone, and how would we expect the executive or whoever has been charged with the responsibility of carrying out our resolutions, what information can we give them so that they know how to measure the success of any of our recommendations or reports or resolutions? That, for me, has been quite challenging to see that there has not been sufficient enough understanding or discussion around how we resource what we want, because you cannot achieve anything just by stating what should happen. I know you need to start there, but we need to look at how we can do things. And I know that is the role of the executive, but I have heard that there are some members of the executive that don't necessarily value a women's forum, and it's really important for us as a forum to be able to tell the executive what we expect, how we expect it to be delivered, and when we want it delivered. I thank you very much for the opportunity to share with you today my experiences of the past 2 days, and I look forward to getting the opportunity to meet with you over the next coming 5 days. Thank you.
Okay, it's Marianne here. Thank you, Robin, very much. It's always helpful and really quite interesting to hear, particularly for someone who comes to one of these events for the very first time. We're going to cross over to our choir again, and then I'm going to come back and just finalise with some comments the session before we end with music again, and then, of course, the photograph that you're all looking forward to. So
Please, choir, it's the floor is yours. We're going to make four more songs. The first two are going to be Give Me Jesus, then Amazing Grace. And they will have one other speech. And then we're going to make two other songs. And during the two last one, if you want to join us, sing with us, clap your hand, just enjoy this moment we're going to share with you. That will be very, very nice.
Give the morning when I rise.
Thank you very much, and I do hope that when we go back to our final session or a couple of tunes, that people do join in and sing because and clap along, because I know we have some very talented people in the audience. I will just take a couple of minutes to make a few comments before we do finish. Birgitta's outlined the way forward for what happens with the resolutions. They are now, the editing will be finalised, handed to Tina, who is the chair of the General Assembly resolution, and will be part of the batch of resolutions put to the General Assembly on Friday. The World Blind Union will undertake a strategic planning exercise for the next 4 years, and the resolutions adopted at the General Assembly will be a major element of the plan that's put in place. If I think of a few people I would like to just make a comment on before we do finish, and many of you have heard Kiki Nordstrom, and many of you will know that Kiki really was the person that led the movement of women within the World Blind Union. Kiki is currently the immediate past president of World Blind Union, and this General Assembly sees the end of her probably 15 years involvement in a leadership role in the World Blind Union. So I think that's a major contribution, and if every one of us could make such a contribution, women would certainly be running the place. To Birgitta, who also did a lot of work with Kiki in the planning of the forum, we all know that the Women's Committee this term didn't function as well as it did the one before, of course. but Kiki and Birgitta certainly met the challenge of planning this forum, and I think it's important that we acknowledge that, because that was on top of the workload that they already had. I think our volunteers, as we heard in our resolution, make a huge difference to how successful or otherwise any meeting is, and it's important to acknowledge that and thank them, as we did. Also, to those who have been listening over the internet, I hope you found the 2 days interesting, informative, entertaining, whatever it is that, you know, makes you happy. Thank you for your time, and I hope you'll listen in over the next week. And it is important to note that the Women's Forum is quite different to the General Assembly, and particularly those who are here for the very first time. At this meeting, everybody is equal. We're all participants. We meet different people. We sit with different people each day. And that's a really great opportunity for us, and one of the great benefits of the Women's Forum. The General Assembly is different. This room will be double the size tomorrow when we all turn up. And people will be required to sit in their country delegations. If you're a delegate, you sit in behind your country sign. If you're not a delegate, you sit in the observer area. And only delegates are entitled to speak and vote at the General Assembly. So it is a lot more formal, and that's one of the huge advantages of this forum. And so when we all turn up tomorrow, unlike the men, we'll all know people. They won't. So it doesn't matter what a program looks like, what work's gone into developing a program. Without those who agree to present and prepare, it can't happen, and it can't happen without participants who play an active role. So I'd like to finish by thanking all of you who have come along for the last 2 days and actively participated. And then Birgitta would like anyone who's got any further editorial or suggestions that may impact on the final text of the resolutions to see her after the photo that we're going to have. So I'm going to hand over to our musicians, our choir, and we're going to end, and then we'll just end there. I won't come back, I promise you. And as we leave the room, we'll all be assisted by volunteers for the photo shoot. So thank you very much, everyone. I hope it's been an enjoyable experience, and look forward to seeing you over the next 5 days. Thank you.
So we're going to finish, but before, I have something to tell you. I didn't want to tell it before. The girl you heard in the last song. She is blind too, and she is one of our singers, and it was really special for her to sing here today, and I'm really, really glad we could do that for you. So we're going to end now with two songs, a bit more rhythm, a bit more joy, a bit more happiness. The first one, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. It looks like that something is going to speak to everybody here. And the last one is This Little Light of Mine. And once again, please join us, clap your hand. We will be very, very happy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Don't tell me that mic went over.
No.
We have the Swiss Gospel Choir from Geneva, and this is sort of ending of the Women's Forum. It's been good. It really has. Absolutely fantastic. Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
We have had two very successful days of the Women's Forum, culminating today in the resolutions that you heard, six resolutions in all. I won't try to recap them. We're speaking a bit softly, trying not to disturb the music and so forth, but recognizing that probably for all of you out there on the internet, the music presentation isn't of the highest quality you might want. Six resolutions, very well done, very well put together, I think. The procedure, very different than an ACB convention.
Isn't it just?
Very different than having Robert's Rules of Order guide you. But you know what? They got through it. Everybody was happy. And, you know, it was fine. And I thought it worked out well. These resolutions will go from here to the General Assembly. And we'll hear them again on Friday with many other resolutions. And we'll see what comes of all this. A few little controversial items today. We had a brief discussion about the lack of a women's committee. I think that will be addressed in the next 4 years. And I'm very happy to see that happen. We will begin tomorrow with the actual World Blind Union Conference. It's going to begin a little bit later than other times. Oh, I was going to say also, today we had, a lot of things going on. We had the registration going on for WBU. The nominations committee met today. And we had a meeting also of the credentials committee. And tonight we're going to have a reception for everybody, Women's Forum and WBU people from 6:30 to 8:30 our time.
That's going to be busy.
It's going to be huge. The crowds out there are getting bigger and bigger. Lunch was twice as full today as it was yesterday, so people are coming in from all around the world. Tomorrow morning from 8:30 to 9:30 is registration, and the session will begin at 9:30 a.m. Central European Time, 7:30 a.m.
Yes.
UTC.
Indeed.
And come prepared to hear some great opening remarks and music. One thing that you may really want to hear tomorrow morning is that we're told, and we hope it happens, the president of the Swiss Federation will address this group.
That so is excellent. That really would be good. Good news.
Chrissy, I have nothing more I need to say.
No, neither do I. Shall we just let this go out?
I think we should.
How everyone's enjoying themselves.
I think we should.
We will indeed. So from the 4th Women's Forum here in Geneva, this is me, Chrissy Cochran, and with Chris Gray.
Thank you for letting me broadcast. It's been a pleasure working with you this
you're
morning.
You're welcome. I'd like to thank you both for all the help and support you've given me over the last couple of days. Without you, I'd have been wrecked.
It's really been a pleasure.
I've enjoyed it. And tomorrow, Marlene Lieber will be with me.
Very good.
To anchor the General Assembly. So let's just go back to the floor and hear how it's all going.